Bhagavad Lila, Dasma Skanda, Chapter 24, Varshbing Govardhan Hill. In this chapter, Krishna talks with Nanda Maharaj, stops the Indra Yajna, and introduces the worship of Govardhan Hill. In the village of the Yajnic Brahmanas, Nanda Maharaj and his brothers were somehow or other preparing an elaborate sacrifice to Lord Indra. Upon arriving there and observing the men busy in the preparations, Krishna reacted as follows. Krishna actually knew all about the Indra Yajna sacrifice because he had seen it many times before, 6 times to be exact. As Paramatma, Sarvatma, Krishna was inspiring the Brijvasis to perform the sacrifice. Yet eager to enact his pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill, Krishna cleverly inquired from Nanda Maharaj about the imminent sacrifice. Krishna is called Sarvadarshana because he could see into the future, wherein he would smash Indra's pride and enjoy pastimes with his loving devotees for 7 days. Father, tell me about this sacrifice. I want to know and hear with faith. No secrets should be kept by saintly personalities who see everyone as equal and have no idea of mine or yours. They do not consider who is friend, enemy, or neutral. If Nanda Maharaj answered, "We are busy for the sacrifice we are about to perform," then Krishna would ask, "What is the purpose of this Indra Yajna, or this sacrifice? Who is the demigod to be worshipped through this sacrifice? Who will perform it, and with what materials?" Nanda Maharaj replied, "You, Lala, are a mere child. Why are you asking such questions?" Nandalal, "I have a great desire to know. As you are showing great expectations, therefore please tell me because I want to hear." Anticipating that one of the coward men may say, "As this is a private fair, we should not tell a small boy with little intelligence." Anticipating this, Krishna utters statements that reveal he is very learned. Nandanandan said, "Those who are of a good character see all other people on the same level as themselves. They do not distinguish between friends, enemies, and neutral parties. Therefore, you should trust me and reveal the entire purpose of the sacrifice." Nanda Baba, "We are householders and cannot follow such standards of saintly behavior." To answer this objection, Krishna says, "One who is indifferent may be avoided like an enemy. A tathashta, or neutral person, is a friend of the opposing group. The neutral person is not an enemy or a friend and should not be avoided nor accepted. Therefore, he is included among those to be avoided." Nanda, "But one should have faith in the friend as one's very own self. I am more than a friend. I am an intimate family member. Gyatva gyatva chakaramani janoyam anutishtati vidusha karma siddhi syadyata navidusho bhavet." Krishna said, "Nanda Baba, when worldly people perform activities, sometimes they understand their actions, sometimes they don't. Those who know what they are going to do achieve success in their work, whereas ignorant people do not. Nanda Baba, people should perform a particular ceremony or activity only after thoroughly understanding it, through discussion with friends, we should not be blind followers of tradition. Worship and sacrifices that we Vaishyas perform, we should understand the present and future results. Anticipating that one of the elderly coward men may say, "Listen, Lala, we are conducting this yajna after considering very carefully with knowledge." Then Krishna asks, Is this fruit of endeavor, Kriya Yoga, based on scripture, or is it simply a local custom? Nanda Maharaj gives the logic behind the worship by saying, "This is a local custom. Why? Because Indra sends the rain, which is very pleasing to us, and gives life to entities such as grass, which nourishes our cows." Nandalal, "Through the mercy of demigods like Indra, I have attained a qualified, beautiful son like you. Therefore, you should not oppose this action. In this Indra Yajna, there should be no false pride. We worship Indra with materials created by Indra's rain, just as one worships the Ganga with Ganga Jal. Om Gange Gange, Om Gange Gange, Ma Ganga Ki Jai." Nanda Baba continues, "Nandalal, people sustain their lives by the remnants of sacrifices performed to Indra. Human life is not meant just for sense gratification, but one should use his human life to attain the higher goals of Dharma, Artha, and Kam. From rain comes grains. From grains comes sustenance of life. From sustenance of life comes religiosity, and from religiosity comes effort and action. The clouds are the root of the Dharma, Artha, and Kam. We should worship Indra, the Lord of the clouds. We might face a dire result of not worshiping Indra. If one neglects his religious duties out of lust, greed, fear, or enmity, he will not attain any benefit now or in the future." Sri Shuka Vacha Vacho Nishamyam Nandasya Tatanyesham Prajokasam Indraya Manyam Janayan Pitaram Prahakeshava. Upon hearing Nanda Baba's statements and other senior gopas, Krishna addressed Nanda to arouse anger in Lord Indra. Krishna wanted to provoke Indra's anger to break the mountain of his false pride. By lifting Govardhan Hill, Sri Krishna would thus initiate a blissful annual festival called Govardhan Puja, and Krishna would further enjoy the pleasant pastime of dwelling for 7 days beneath the hill with all his loving devotees. These are the successive reasons for Krishna's words. To show the pastimes of Nara Lila, acting like a human being, Krishna spoke the philosophy of Karmavad, or Karma Mimamsa, to minimize the importance of the demigods. Karma Mimamsa is basically atheism with the belief in reincarnation. Krishna said to Nanda Baba, "How can inanimate karma alone give results? There must be a dispenser of the results of action, a Lord." This verse answers this objection. If such a Lord exists, he must give results to those who perform actions. Then Krishna makes his logic stronger by negation. If there is a supreme controller, he must depend on a performer of activity to reciprocate with, and must therefore also be subject to the laws of karma, being obliged to award happiness and distress to conditioned souls according to the laws of good and evil. The demigods have no function at all. They are like the nipples on the neck of a goat. Thus, there is no need to worship Indra, because people are simply reaping their inevitable karma. Well, there may be an objection. Action cannot be taken place unless the Supersoul instigates it. Thus, how can you say, Krishna, that the demigods have no function? Krishna replies, the Supersoul inspires the soul to act on the basis of his previous impressions, samskaras, and for no other purpose. Since one only acts according to his previous deeds, worship of Indra will have no effect. Now Krishna elaborates upon the argument. He said, since the actions one does in this life depend on his swabhav, conditioned nature, why bother worshipping God or the demigods? It is our action, which is based on our previous impressions, which gives all results. Therefore, action is worshipable. Now Krishna proposes that our work, karma, our occupation is really God. Sounds like Gandhi, the modern Indian ethics. Work is God. Manaseva, Madhavseva. Our occupation is really God. We should therefore simply worship our work. Though karma in general should be respected, karma as a cause is also proved through scripture. Those situated in their social position, varna, such as brahmanas, perform actions according to that varna, sakarmakam. Nanda Baba replied, O Lala, but how can there be success of a sacrifice where the ingredients are offered to the demigods without accepting the demigods? Krishna, the demigods are only karmanga, secondary assistants to the karma itself, according to the philosophy of hetutvad, causality. In this way, the demigods are reconciled. Karma, the work by which we live happily, is our deity. Krishna goes on, if one thing is actually sustaining our life, but we take shelter of something else, how can we achieve any real benefit? We would be like an unfaithful woman who can never achieve any actual benefit by consorting with her paramour. Here Krishna speaks of the effects of not following his advice. Nanda, listen. The prescribed duty by which we maintain our lives is our object of worship. For brahmanas, the Vedic scriptures are the object of worship. For the kshatriya, the earth is the object of worship. For the vaishya, agriculture, trade, and other occupations are the objects of worship. For the Shudras, the higher castes are the objects of worship. Since we are Vaishyas, we have to consider, Nanda, that there for us are four occupational duties for the Vaishya: agriculture, trade, raising and protecting cows, and lending money. Nanda Maharaj, Krishna said to Nanda Maharaj, as Vaishyas, for us, there are four occupational duties: agriculture, trade, raising cows, and lending money. Among these four occupations, as Abhira class, we are continuously raising and protecting cows. Even during times of hardship, we have not resorted to the alternative occupations. Thus, for us, cows are worshipable. Anticipating that Nanda Baba may object that a livelihood based on cows certainly depends on Lord Indra, who supplies rain, now in verse 22 and 23 of chapter 24, Sri Krishna introduces the atheistic Sankhya philosophy, which describes a mechanistic theory of existence. By the mode of passion, the universe is created and men and women unite to produce offspring. Krishna concludes in verse 23, Mahendra kim karishyati. Who needs this great Indra, since the rain sent by the clouds, which in turn are impelled by the mode of passion, is actually producing everyone's food? The clouds magnanimously send their rain even on the ocean, rocks, and barren land, where there is no apparent necessity for sweet water. Since Govardhan Hill nourishes the cows and provides abundant grass to feed the cows, the coward men should worship it because their occupation depends on having healthy, well-fed cows. Our home is not in the city nor the village. We move around the pastures, herding the cows. Therefore, our home is the forest and the mountain ranges. The blessings of the Brahmanas give directly perceivable results to us, and therefore we should worship the Brahmins, the cows, and Govardhan Hill. Let us perform this sacrifice using all the ingredients that we have collected with the intention of worshipping Indra. Krishna described what they should offer. We should offer cooked rice and vegetables, hot soups and sweet rice, fried and baked cakes made of wheat flour, and cow milk products like milk and yogurt. Krishna said, Listen, everyone. The learned Brahmins should invoke the sacrificial fires. Then you should feed the priests with nicely prepared food, chakachak bhog, and reward the Brahmanas with cows and other gifts. Here Krishna is assuring the quality of the yajna and to inspire faith in everyone. You should engage the Brahmanas in performing the sacrifices. Afterwards, you should feed them and reward them with cows and money. Now Krishna speaks to make all the classes of Brijvasis favorable to his proposal. Feed everyone, from the Brahman Vaishnavas down to the dogs and dog-eaters. You should feed grass to the cows and worship Govardhan Hill with sandalwood paste, flowers, and other respectful offerings. Etan mamamatam tata kriyatam yari rochate ayam go brahman adrinam mayam cha dayato maka. O Nanda Baba, this is my idea, and you may carry it out if it appeals to you. Such a sacrifice will be very dear to the cows, the Brahmanas, and Govardhan Hill, and also to me. This sacrifice will be very dear to me. Now Shukadeva Goswami describes Krishna Bhagavan, Kalatmana Bhagavata. Krishna is addressed as Kalatmana, the time force, to indicate that Bhagavan Sri Krishna, although only a seven-year-old boy, will destroy the sacrifice to Indra. After hearing from Krishna, Nanda Baba and all the Brijvasis accepted Krishna's proposal. Then the Gopas respectfully offered the Brahmanas in Govardhan Hill all the items meant for Indra. They gave grass to the cows, and placing the cows in front of them, they circumambulated Govardhan Hill. After yoking the bulls to the carts, Bail Gadi, the coward men and women went around Govardhan Hill. Their beautiful songs glorifying Krishna blended harmoniously with the prayers of benediction chanted by the Brahmanas. In order to show the superiority of the Govardhan Puja instituted by himself and to increase the faith of all the Brijvasis in it, Krishna appeared in another form, Anyattamam. a huge personal form which was like a second mountain standing on top of Govardhan. By doing this, Krishna convinced the coward men that he and Govardhan Hill are identical. The Brijbasis thought, Krishna is the hill. Krishnas tvan yatamam rupam gopavishrambanam gata shailo smiti bruvan buri balim adad brihadvapu. Krishna then assumed an unprecedented, huge form to instill faith, Vishramba, in the coward men, and at that time declared, I am Govardhan Mountain. Then he ate the abundant offerings. By saying, I am Govardhan Mountain, Krishna means, I am the presiding master of this region of Brajmandala. Being pleased with your devotion, I have appeared here. Please ask for anything you desire. Saying this, Krishna then accepted the offerings of food made by the Brijbasis who were there at Govardhan and also those that were far away in Nandagram. Some preparations were seen by the Brijbasis at Govardhan Hill, but the others that were offered in meditation were invisible to them. With thousands and millions of hands, which were both short and long, some long hands, Kiraj Baba reached all the way to Nandagram or Barsana to accept offerings that some of the Brijbasis forgot in their haste to run to Govardhan and worship him. And he ate them right from their kitchen, right from their pots. Giriraj Baba ate all the offerings from every direction. Thus, Govardhan fulfilled everyone with joy by eating all the food that was offered to him there at the hill externally, or forgotten in Nandagram or other villages, and all the offerings that were offered mentally, Manasi Seva. In his form as a child standing among the festival goers of Vrindavan, Krishna led the Brijbasis in bowing down to his new incarnation as Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill was nothing but an expanded form of Krishna himself. Then Krishna spoke in 1.5 verses, O Brijbasis, just see how this hill has been merciful to us. This Govardhan Hill, assuming any form he likes, such as snakes, will kill those who disrespect this Govardhan Puja. Therefore, we should offer respects to him. To that form who was himself, by himself, together with the people of Braj, Krishna paid obeisances. Krishna himself offered obeisances with his own body to him, himself, Govardhan, together with all the Brijbasis. Although these philosophies are not followed by Krishna's devotees, Krishna cited the atheistic Sankhya and Karma Mimamsa philosophy in order to stop the sacrifice to Indra. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Sri Krishna presented 6 theoretical points in chapter 24, the 10th canto. 1. That, of course, these are theoretical. The karma alone is sufficient to determine one's destiny. That 2. That one's conditioned nature, sabhav, is the supreme controller. 3. That the modes of nature, gunas, are the supreme controller. 4. That the Supreme Lord is simply a dependent aspect of karma. 5. That he is under the control of karma. And 6. That one's occupation is the actual worshipable deity. Sri Krishna presented these arguments not because he believed in them, but rather because Krishna wanted to stop the impending sacrifice to Indra and divert it to himself in the form of Govardhan Hill. In this way, Krishna desired to agitate that falsely proud demigod, Indra.